I just want to give a testimony. I just thank the Lord for this body. I thank everybody that has reached out to me and encouraged me. I really appreciate it, and I just thank the Lord for what he's doing and what he is about to do in our body. And I'm going to continue the lesson that I was working on before, labor, rest, and reward. This will be the second part, and I do have a scripture reading for this. Sometimes you don't quite know what direction the Lord is moving you to go in. And he was dealing with me about labor in a different way. And then this week, on Sunday, he gave me a scripture. And I believe it's for the end of this lesson to encourage us. But the this part of the lesson is called Spiritual Labor. And I'm going to subtitle it Labor of Love. The scripture reading I'm going to go to is Psalms 126, verses 1 through 6. And then, let's see. Hebrews 6:10 and 1 Thessalonians 1:3. So, Psalms 126, 1 through 6. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. Verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. I might have messed that one up, but Hebrews 6 and 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And then 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. All right, you may be seated. He's God. So when the Lord began to deal with me about this second part of the labor, it came across because there was a message that Eric taught on, I believe it was called weeping, that we should be weeping, and it just really spoke to my heart. And when I think about that, I think about soul winning as well. It says that when we sow in tears, we shall reap in joy. So there are souls that are out there that God wants us to minister to. And part of that ministering is when we are in our prayer closet and we are crying out and we are interceding for the lost. We are weeping, you know, for the lost. And God has to do that. It's not something that we can just, you know, walk into, but it is a brokenness that God wants us to have for the lost. We have to have a love for the lost. And so in this process, we have to be broken. And I've been viewing several series of lessons on brokenness. And one of the lessons was called Be Broken, Be Blessed. And through this series, this minister, he's basically looking at different characters in the Bible and showing how these characters in the Bible were broken. And one of them he talked about was Moses, Jonah, and Isaiah. And when he was talking about Isaiah, it talked about how Isaiah saw himself. And when he saw himself, he said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among unclean people." But when he saw himself, he became broken. Just a moment. I want to read that for a minute. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting high upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." And so Isaiah, he answered the call of God to go to his people to proclaim the Lord and to basically draw his people back to him, because they were in idolatry and in sin. And so a lot of times God has to bring us to a place of brokenness where we don't have the, the confidence or the, we see ourselves as being weak, that we see ourselves as being, you know, not so together. And I remember talking to my sister, Colette, and I was telling her about how God was dealing with me about brokenness. And I was talking to her, and I was mentioning about my mother passing away and about my son, Jonathan. And I was telling her, I said, "You know what, I don't know, but is this situation that I'm in right now, as far as my health, is this part of God breaking me? Is this part of God showing me that there is more? There is more to life than what I've been living, and that there is more that God wants to do in my life?" But it has to do with being broken. It's like God wants us to love the things that he loves, and he loves souls. That's why he came to the earth is was to save souls. He came that we might be saved, that we might be delivered. And there are so many souls that are just lost. And it's in the condition of the world is not getting any better, but we are the light. We are the light. And it is God that is calling us from this place of this sanctuary. He's calling us out to go into the world and to reach the lost. But we have to be broken. It's like we have to see people the way that he sees them. And I was looking at this documentary on a ministry in South Africa. And at the beginning of it, you see this man. He's just walking through this the city. And it has a lot of poverty. And then he mentions Mother Teresa. And he talks about this missionary wanting to, you know, go with Mother Teresa and to help the poor. But the thing that she said to him, he says, well, she said, why are you here? And he says, I want to help the poor. And she said, you need to go back home. And it was like, you mean go back home? He says, she said, until you see the people that are in the streets, until you see them as me. And it was like, wow, I never even heard of something like that. How? And then I thought about, I think it was the reading of this week or maybe last week, Matthew, when it talks in Matthew 25, when it says where he's dividing the sheep from the goat. When you saw me hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you know, you reached out to me. And so it was just like, that's the place that it, I feel like God is wanting us to go, is that we see people the way that Jesus sees people. And when we do that, then there will be more people that come in here and that they are delivered and they are set free. But we have to go. We have to go out. It's not that they come in here. It's that we have to go out there. That's what God said. He said, go out into the world and preach the gospel. And God's been dealing with me about this for a long time. I see myself like on a street corner or someplace like that, passing out tracts, talking to people, and this is the lesson or the place that God wants me to go. But I can't be afraid. I have to have the love of God. I have to have faith. I have to see them the way that Jesus sees them. And sometimes it's scary. But you know what, really, people that are on the street, that are homeless, they really want you to see them. They really want you to see them. They don't want you to, you know, walk by and not talk to them, because they want to feel like they're human beings. And when we walk by them, we act like, you know, they're nothing. But God wants us to really actually see them. I was part of a exhibition. It was called Not Exactly Homeless. And basically, there were people that were experiencing homelessness, and they basically did like installations. And I remember a friend of mine. Her name was Rosie. And I've known Rosie for a long time. And the reason why she was homeless was because her father did inappropriate things with her when she was younger, and she ran away when she was 16 years old. And this one thing that she told me, she said, you know what, I live in this storage room. She lived in a storage room. And the way that she took a shower was she had one of these plastic, like, tubings for, like, outdoors. And that's how she would take a shower. But she was a friend of mine. You would have never known that she was homeless. But I'm saying is that when we love people the way that God loves people, and when we see people the way he sees them, then we will see the revival that God wants us to see. Psalms 30 and 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. When I was like contemplating this, I was talking to a friend of mine, and that's the scripture that she had given me, and was like, "Wow, Lord, you're really showing me that, you know, sometimes we don't want to go to the places that God wants us to go to, because it's painful. It's painful. When you're interceding, when the Spirit of God comes upon you and you're interceding, you are, it's a painful thing. It's like labor, okay? We're talking about labor. So when a woman goes into labor, it's not like, you know, it's painful. As simple as that. It's painful. But in order to have that joy, in order to have that baby, she has to go through that pain. She has to go through that sorrow. And that is what God is wanting all of us to do. It's not just for women. It's for men, too. I've seen powerful things when a man intercedes.
That's right, that's right.
It's very powerful. Amen. When a man intercedes, when a woman intercedes. I was thinking about the testimony that Eric shared about when we were at Loving Way, and Jack was the man that he was talking about, that a man was praying for months and had never seen him. But God showed it to him in prayer. That is amazing. And when he saw him, he knew who he was. And I think about when I first got in church, I remember a sister. She said, "You know what? I saw you walking down the street. You were in these black pants and you had a red striped shirt, and the Lord just laid upon my heart to pray for you." So, you know, when God shows you somebody to pray for, you never know what is going to happen. I remember it's been several years ago, but I would drive by Jesus Saves, and at this particular time, there was a man that I would always see, and he had a really long beard, and he was an older man, but he would have a blanket on his head, and he would just be walking down that area. But every time I would see him, the Lord would lay upon my heart to pray for him. Lord, change his life. Lord, do something for him. And in 2012, a friend invited me to the studio called Reach Studio. And the person that God had me praying for was in that studio. He was making art. And he just had an exhibition. But he's been doing this for like 10 years. And it's just like you never know what prayer can do when we pray, God changes people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So God dwells in a lofty place, but he also dwells with them that have a contrite and humble spirit. So when we have a humble spirit, when we have a contrite heart, a repentant heart, God dwells with us. And he wants to revive us. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So to be broken means to be crushed. Contrite means to be also crushed and to be deeply repentant or remorseful for sin. So we have to be sorry, not for only for our sins, but for the sins of others. When we're really interceding, we're not just interceding for ourselves, but we're interceding for others, for the condition of our nation, for the condition of the world, for, I don't know, it could be schools, whatever God has laid upon your heart to pray for, there is a need there. To redeem, to make something acceptable or pleasant in spite of its negative qualities or aspects, to buy back. So when we are praying, when we're interceding, we're asking God to release, let somebody or something go, stop holding on to something, to set free a person who is in prison, trapped or confined, free of debt, obligation, or dismissed as wrong. When we're praying, we're asking God to restore, to return something to its proper place, to bring something back to an earlier or better condition, to give new strength or vigor, to reestablish or put back, and then atone. So when we do that, we're ushering God's power to change somebody's life, and they may not even know it. It's like God just works, and we don't even see it. He's just working all the time. He said he never slumbers. He never sleeps. And so while we're sleeping or while we're praying, God's working in somebody else's life. And it could be here. It could be somewhere. It could be across the world, across the globe. We don't know. God reminded me of the message Pastor Markeech preached, plant, water, grow. When we testify about the goodness of God, when the word is preached, the word is the seed that is planted in someone's heart. There is a time when it's covered in darkness because there's a different type of soil you need to know how much water and light a plant should have. Some plants thrive with 6 to 8 hours of light. Others need partial sunlight, while others thrive in the shade. Every plant needs water to grow. And so that just like a plant needs water to grow, think of our tears as plants in a person's life and in a person's heart. We're planting seed. When we plant the word of God, we're planting seed. When we're praying, we're planting seed. When we're fasting, we're planting seed. But God doesn't want me to leave, how I want to say it. He wants us to know, let me put it this way. God wants us to know that he is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. which you have showed to her towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I was listening to a message, and part of the message he was talking about was four pillars of love. The four pillars of love are compassion, commitment, pleasure, and sacrifice. Pastor Marquise and Sister Day, you have demonstrated these qualities of love in your walk. You have demonstrated all those qualities in your walk with God. Sister Dawn, you have demonstrated those qualities of commitment and sacrifice. So I'm going to do something different. All the women, stand up. In the natural, when a woman has a child, there is labor involved and a pain associated with the birth of a child. Women labor in love for their children and husbands by caring for their needs, praying, interceding for others, teaching, correction, and instruction, by showing grace and mercy, and being a friend or mother to someone. All right, men, stand up. Your labor has been towards your wife and children to keep a roof over their head, bringing your family to the house of God, worshiping and being involved in men's fellowship, demonstrating perseverance through hardship at work. You minister to your wife in love by supporting her and protecting your family with grace and prayer, being willing to disciple other men and children. All right, children, stand up. Obeying your parents even when you don't agree with them, honoring your parents by notes, letters, cards, gifts, hugs, prayers, making them laugh, making their burden lighter by helping them in the home, doing your part. And then young men, Jaziel, Josiah, and Jair, because you are overcoming the wicked one, because you are strong and sober-minded, and the word of God abides in you, you are instructing and teaching young people how to walk with God as well as adults by your example and love you have one for another. Teachers, your labor of love has been instructing those that sometimes oppose themselves. You are like an under-shepherd over the flock. All we like sheep have gone astray. You care for the lambs and provide instructions they need for life. Parents, God saw your sacrifice for your children. God heard your prayers, and God sees the love you have for your children. God sees your commitment to show Jesus to them, to bring them to Jesus, to point them to Jesus by your example. So God wanted me to tell you, God has not forgotten your labor of love. Everybody should be standing up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you, Father, for this body. I thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for your sons and daughters. Father, I thank you, hallelujah, for our pastor and his wife. I thank you, Father, for their children. Hallelujah, and their example, Father. Father, Father, I thank you for all the families that are represented here tonight, Father. Lord, we thank you. Father, for all your many blessings, Father. And we thank you, Father, for calling us by your Spirit, Father. And I thank you, Father, that you remember. Father, their labor of love. Lord, we're not done yet. Father, we're just getting started. We're just getting started, Father, loving one another. We're just getting started, Lord, loving the stranger, loving the fatherless, loving the homeless, Lord. Wherever you have called us to go, you've called us to go and show your love. And so, Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for what you have done. We give you thanks for what you are doing, Father, in your mighty name, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen.
We'd like to take this time right now.